welcome to Medicine on Call, and Happy New Year. I think we've come to, thank God, we've come to the end of a really horrendous health year. We've just lost on all fronts, it seems, since this Obamacare fiasco has passed. And I know people have been following, and I know you kind of have to follow what's going on now, because for those who thought it didn't affect them or would never affect them or that it was awesome, they are now figured out that this bill and this new healthcare system that we're being forced into is a total scam on every level. It's too expensive. The access is non-existent. Your doctor no longer has control over how he or she treats you. The government has stepped in, even though they swore that this was not government-run and it's not going to be single-payer. I mean, I just read another article from this Gruber character that admits that the Obamacare will not be affordable. That was in 2009. How nobody in the media does any due diligence as to really what they, never listen to what they say. I think it's now time to really, really double down on listen or watch what they do, because this is a pattern. Anybody with any common sense would have said to themselves, there's no way that you can put 30 million people into a healthcare system, which is already teetering on bankruptcy, make it more affordable, give you more access. Doesn't make any sense on any level. Somebody has to pay for it. I mean, I'm going to break this down, because next year, this is in play. I don't think this is ever going to go away, honestly. I don't care what the Republicans say. They've already funded it for this fiscal year. The healthcare infrastructure is gone. The old infrastructure where you had choice, where if you were in a rural setting, you had a hospital to go to. If you had a primary care doctor that you liked, you could actually get in at some point and see him or her. You were seen by physicians instead of extenders. You could understand what your doctor said to you because they were English-speaking primarily. I mean, all of these things that we got used to and I think lulled into thinking or lied into believing that it was going to be absolutely the same in this new system are gone. It's just tragic. I'm sitting on the inside looking at all of these changes and knowing what's coming down the road is going to be worse. All you have to do is look at what's going on in the United Kingdom, in their National Health Service, to figure out what's coming to us. I said this in the show several years ago, that the ICD-10 was the last iteration of private health, of the private health system. It's now going to change to a global health system run entirely by the World Health Organization and the UN, and we are the last developed country to join it. All of the naysayers who said we were racist and sexist and wanted people to die because we didn't want to go into a managed care, universal health care system, I think you should talk to your friends and tell them if they give you any grief. Look at what's going on in England. It's gone bankrupt. Parts of it have been privatized in a sense because they've had to pay for private overseers to figure out how to keep funding the system. I read an article yesterday about how hundreds of thousands of people no longer can get surgery. They can't get health care. They can't get access to care because the hospitals are full. It's not because they're fabulous hospitals, it's because there's not enough of them, because it's shut down the competition. That's reality. They wait longer, they're sicker, and when they reach a certain age, they don't get care because they're considered to be too old to waste money on. That's what we're moving towards. And they're also, the doctors are agents of the government. Now they're being told to, put in the weight of the patient as part of their intake. They have to do it now. And, that's all well and good, but it's what it's being used for. That's not well and good. If it were just going to stay private within the doctor-patient relationship, that wouldn't be a problem. What they're going to do is use it to coerce the doctor and the patient to change habits. It's going to be, top-down control, where social engineers decide your behavior. And these are the same people like Gruber and the rest of these, elitist academics who have no real-world experience but sit in think tanks all day and figure out how they can manipulate you and that they're better than you. That's exactly what they think. For somebody to... And they lie. I mean, it's just in-your-face lying 24/7. They don't have a conscience. And this is where we really, as Americans and people who actually care and want to take responsibility for their lives again, we need to really understand that we may play the game, we vote people in, we make our choices, you know, very obvious, but there's another side to this where we're being worked against. I don't care what the designation is, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, it doesn't matter. This has now come down to those who want to perpetuate a system where they're in control. They decide from cradle to grave what you live, how you live, what your choices are, what should make you happy, you know, what your reaction should be to whatever they want to do to you. That's the manipulation, and this is from a centralized point. Otherwise, how would it possibly make sense for, I mean, I'm going to get political for a second, for the Pope to talk to our president? They decide together that we now have diplomatic relations with Cuba and totally circumvent the Congress, the American people. How does that work? Unless there's some other force, some other agenda that drives our political system that is unbeknownst to us. I've never heard that. Time for critical thinking, folks, because this year is critical. I think a lot of things are going to be pushed through under the guise of working together and Congress, you know, working with the president that we're not going to like furthering what they've been doing in the last stages of this year. There's no reason for the Republicans to have screwed up the system in such a way that all of the president's legal appointments, the Surgeon General, they all got in. And they've been fighting these guys for how many years now for them not to be confirmed? And in one fell swoop, they all get in. Nobody says a thing about that. I mean, this is... You can't even be pissed. It's beyond being pissed at this point. It is now get ready to defend yourself. And that means in every way. That means you need to decide whether you want to play the game and take these vaccines, whether you want to eat crap that they want to call GMO, whether you want to allow your government, especially the Congress, to pass laws that work against labeling for GMO, that make you take vaccines. They're not working in our interest at all in any sense. And now we're talking about the Pacific Trade Agreement? Just like NAFTA that happened in South America, where we ended up on the short end of the stick, we lost jobs, and South America basically benefited. It seems to me every treaty that we seem to pass, which never goes through Congress anymore, is never in the United States' favor. So the global warming nonsense that they pass with China, they get to do whatever they want to 2025 because they're a developing country. How do you still call yourself a developing country when you're in the number one economy in the world? I think you get to lose that moniker. But they're milking that for everything they can milk it for. And here we go, okay, we'll just let you do whatever you want. We'll devastate our own economy just to make you feel better. We're all tied. And as soon as you have a question, you're racist, you're sexist. I'm so sick of that. I think everybody should just say, I don't care what you think. And do you at this point? Because nothing works in your favor. And every time we make, as a group, as a whole, as a country, conscious decisions when we vote people a certain way and they totally disregard it, time for recalls. I mean, what's going on in New York is a prime example. I get it. They should recall that mayor. He's terrible. He actually, in their rhetoric, promoted the violence that happened to the police. And the police are no angels in this either. I'm not saying that they are. But it's not a black or white thing. It's a blue thing. And it's a culture. And part of it is that cops are considered to be innocent in any interaction with the public, no matter what it is. If it's a violent interaction, the cop is the victim. That's why they get off on all these grand juries. Either you change that part of the system, or you learn to live with it. And it has nothing to do with black, white, green. I'm seeing people in Georgia who've been forcibly, you know, blood taken from them, forcibly, because they were, they're allowed in some instances to get blood levels. If you say no, you don't want your blood level, you don't want to give your blood or do a DUI check, well, they can tie you down and force you to do it. There's homeless people in New Mexico, white homeless people who were shot, just executed by the police. That never goes on TV. And so we're being manipulated on so many fronts. And it's so obvious at this point that this is all a dog and pony show, and it's about making, it's like a Pavlov response. You say the race word, you say the sexism, you play the sexism card, you expect people to have the same response. Time to stop playing the game, because once we stop doing that, they stop doing it. And it's not about being violent, it's about just taking personal responsibility. If you don't, it starts with you. We have so much power. It's just, we just give it to them. We let them do this to us. We have the power of the purse. I'm going to try to get someone called the Food Babe on at some point this year. And she's been running campaigns against GMO. And she's gone to fast food places, you know, Chipotle, you know, I can't even name, there's a list of places that she's actually gotten wins on where they've taken GMO products or ingredients out. They now list their ingredients on their website. And ultimately, if you hold people to the fire and you say, I'm watching you, either you prove it or I'm walking away from the table. And in this case, with your wallet, they come back. They expect you just to say, okay, there's no choice. I'll just do whatever you want me to. That's what they want you to do. As long as you do that, you deserve what you get. Well, I'm not going that route. And more people that do that, and we don't even need a majority. You need about 7% of the population to opt out on everything. Stop buying crap. Stop paying for somebody to tell you no when you're your health insurance. That's not even insurance. You know, after the break, because, I mean, there's so many things that once you peel back the layers of this, you realize how stupid this all is and how manipulated you are and how if you would just have some courage. And once you do it, you won't want to go back. I mean, they want you to be afraid and powerless and feel small. And they work for us. Who are these people? They work for you. Once you figure that out and really start to feel that way, I don't care who they are, your mayor, your congressman, your school board, get up in their face. They want to do these things in private, in closed doors, cut you out, tell you that they know what's best for you. And as long as we do that, we're going to be victims. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and/or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, the healthcare system is completely, it's corrupt. It's been corrupted by the same entities that are trying to drive you to believe things that aren't necessarily true. The vaccine industry is another example of what's going down. In 1986 or 87, sometime in the late 80s, under Bush, the Congress passed a law that made vaccine makers immune to any kind of suit, civil or criminal, for anything that went down with their vaccines. So they knew that their vaccine didn't work, or it was somehow could damage people. Didn't matter. They couldn't be sued. And they created this vaccine court, which is a kangaroo court, basically, because about 400 claims have been settled since this court was created. But there's been thousands of claims. So they make parents and people wait. They either wait for the person to get tired, financially exhausted, or die, and they're not actually working for it in the interest of the population. So let's think about this from a business standpoint. Back in the 80s, you could barely get a vaccine. The manufacturers weren't making it. They were claiming that it wasn't in their financial interest to make it. And then this law passed, and next thing you knew, there was a vaccine for everything. For things that you shouldn't even need the vaccine for, because you should probably get them as a child so you'd be a lot healthier as an adult. And this goes on to this day. And as soon as the government became the biggest purchaser of these vaccines, you're not going to buy something and not use it. So now we have all of these supposed mandates. All your children need to be vaccinated before they go to school. Now they're trying to make hospital workers get these crazy flu vaccines, which this year, as we all know, doesn't even have the right ingredients within it. And we now have a flu epidemic. And digress for a second. Part of it I've been reading is not necessarily because the flu is so virulent, but because a lot of folks have taken the Flumist, which is the vaccine that goes into the nose. Well, that's a live attenuated vaccine, which means it's partially killed and there's some live activity to the virus that you're getting. And those people who take that version can pass the flu to other people for up to 21 days after they've received the vaccination. Really? So we now have a situation where the vaccine is causing or increasing the chance that you'll get the disease. And now you have the, you know, like dog wagging the tail, as my producer said, where now there's so many people with the flu, it's the worst year ever, but well, how did it start, really? Now we got people with measles that they've gotten the vaccine as kids, but they're getting measles as adults. These things don't work. And I read an article which really blew me away, that people who've gotten women who've had the mumps as a child have a protection against ovarian cancer. There's something about the mumps virus and the genetic aspects of it and how we fight it off that turns off genes that promote ovarian cancer. So potentially, people who are getting these childhood diseases actually have a protection effect into adulthood. I mean, really? I mean, this is things that you will never learn from the vaccine industry. They don't want you to know that. That was an eye-opening experience for me. And maybe we should let our children get these like we used to when 20 years ago. These adults are a lot healthier than these kids who get everything because their immune systems either haven't seen it, they've been medicated to death with antibiotics, and it's not working. And all they're going to do is shove more vaccines at us. And then when the Ebola one comes online, which I'm sure it will, it's already been approved, they're just waiting for the opportunity to dole it out. I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole or the HIV vaccine or, you know, none of that. It's not tested. They could care less whether they kill people. It's, you know, it's just par for the course in their mindset. Oh, it's just it's a one-off or it's part of doing business. Well, it's your life and it's your child's life. And now they're talking about GMOs causing autism. There's a lot of things that could cause autism, but they're finding a huge link between genetically modified foods and autism. And they're saying it's going to be an explosion by 2025. Well, these are things that you can control. Start cleaning out your diet. Start reading the labels. Start growing food yourself if you possibly can with heirloom seeds that have not been manipulated. We're not talking about mixing tangerines with oranges here. We're talking about inserting insect genes, animal genes. These are hybrids, or we call chimeras, or genetic manipulation in such a way that once these genes enter our system, they do become part of us. And we don't know what they do. Do they turn on cancer genes? Do they, you know, make you predispose you towards senility early? We don't know what they do. They're not part of nature. We do know that. And then the ones that have Roundup, or which is the weed killer gene that's inserted in them so that they need less weed killer. I mean, how can I put it? They insert the Roundup within the seed itself. So when it grows, it's supposed to ward off weed production, or you have to use less weed killer. But actually, the weeds are so resistant now, you have to use more weed killer. And it kills your DNA. It kills your liver. It causes tumors. I mean, all these things that have been shown in the literature already, they're just being ignored by the industry, like Monsanto, Congress, who's bought out by the industry. It's just tragic. And as long as we, again, sit back and let it happen or make bad food choices, they're going to continue to make this. But there's a growing number of people, thank God, who are realizing, I want organic, I'm going to pay more for it. And I'm seeing now in every supermarket, there's a really just growing organic section, which is really nice to see. And I've seen Coke now have, there's Diet Coke has stevia in it instead of the NutraSweet, which again kills your liver, kills your kidneys, causes cancer. I mean, it becomes formaldehyde as it transits through your system. And formaldehyde is what you embalm people with. So there is no reason to drink Diet Coke or anything with NutraSweet in it. And of course, they've put it in everything, in non-diet stuff. It's in gum. It's in salad dressings. Read your labels, because if you really start to pay attention, they're poisoning us, even if we're not, it's not even obvious anymore. It's just part of their system. And maybe one Diet Coke wouldn't hurt you, but a Diet Coke on top of soy in your hamburger meat, on top of, you know, NutraSweet in your salad dressing, I mean, your gum, I mean, you're getting so many doses of these things per day that your liver is overwhelmed. And we're seeing an explosion of liver cancer, pancreatic cancer. That was very rare back in the day. Colon cancer, breast cancer. I mean, you name it. It's just off the chart. And I think there has to be some connection between the toxic exposure and the fact that our immune systems are standing down because people are getting vaccinated as children. They are voluntarily, unfortunately, taking some of these flu vaccines. I predict down the road that people who got the Gardasil vaccine may have problems with fertility, and we just haven't seen it yet because they're 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds. But what's going to happen when women become really childbearing age, 20s, 30s? I think we're going to see a problem with fertility. We already do, but that's going to get worse. And instead of them actually doing studies on Gardasil, well, there are, and they're not good ones, they've actually added more aluminum to this new version of Gardasil. So they double down on one of the things that can make your immune system go wild if it gets into it. Aluminum is an irritant. It's designed to make the immune system rev up so that you can create antibodies. But in some patients, it goes haywire. You end up with autoimmune diseases. It could cause, you know, Alzheimer's if it gets into the brain. All sorts of things can happen to you. Is it really necessary for you to take Gardasil for a disease such as, you know, cervical cancer, which affects about 4,000 women? 4,000, listen to that, 4,000 women die of cervical cancer per year. Out of how many people in the United States? And of those people, most of them are, they either, unfortunately, immunocompromised, whether that be HIV, whether they never go to the doctor. It's not very common. So you have to be, there has to be some other underlying medical condition that makes you, that kills you. But it, in majority of patients, it clears by itself. So they're creating all these diseases and all these answers for diseases, which makes them a lot of money, but not necessarily, may not be necessarily needed. And for things that they should protect us against, like Ebola, we got another lab accident. Did you hear about that one? Oh, I guess you didn't. CDC, yeah, CDC, and they're putting Ebola. I just read The Hot Zone, everybody, because if you read that book, you would know that's impossible, virtually impossible to make a mistake where you send a live virus out to a lab and don't tell them. It's just tragic. I mean, I don't know what to say. But I don't trust the CDC. This is now number three. So we got smallpox, we have anthrax, and now we have Ebola. And they're working with the most deadly viruses on the planet, and this is what they do. And nobody gets held accountable. Why don't they fire? No one ever gets fired. No one's ever held accountable. That means, in my mind, it's sanctioned. Because if it were not, somebody's head would roll. It never happens. So if you're not willing to take responsibility for your own health, your own safety, then you're in trouble, in my opinion. I expect these guys to make a vaccine that I can trust and that I can feel safe taking. I don't think so. And by the way, the people who are, this is another thing, that another continuation. People who have gotten Ebola, contractors have gone to Africa and they come back into our country and they, unbeknownst to themselves or whatever, pass it to an American, they're held harmless. They're immune from prosecution. So again, you know, we have these, do whatever you want. It's a total Wild West. Screw anybody over that you want to. But if you're part of the system, you get a pass. But if you don't pay your taxes, you don't recycle properly, you have a pool in your backyard that you didn't tell the zoning commission about, you're going down. This is a two-tier system on all fronts, not just healthcare. It's everything now. And I say that we take the special interests out. And they're everywhere now. They're in the, it used to be just the Congress, but they're now in the local environment. It's because ALEC, I think it's what it's called. It's this lobbying organization for big business that's permeated the local political system. And they're making all sorts of laws and all sorts of zones and regulations that cost you money and allow them to practice and have free reign while you don't. So I suggest that you start reading and start, you know, get off the sports page for a minute, which is another distraction, and start reading about things that really matter to you. Your property, your taxes, your children's school, things that really will affect you down the road. Who cares whether or not the Falcons win? That doesn't affect you. Does it put food on your table? Does it help your child have a future? Does it keep you out of a hospice? The answer is no. And unless the things that matter to you now have those questions that are asked, you need to ask that about everything. Unless it really matters, let it go. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we talk about a lot of cool stuff, and what Dave was telling me, and I agree with this. You know, if you have a community and housing, how do you call it, Dave?
Homeowners association
or any condo association, anything that you can get together with your neighbors and create your own community garden. Why depend on the farmer's market if you can do it yourself? And you get to know each other, and you get a community which, instead of everybody looking at everybody with suspicion, you start being a team. You know, that's the team that we should start paying attention to, not the sports teams where it's manipulated out of control. Who knows what goes on with these things? It's a joke. You know, someone making $3 or $4 million a year whining doesn't serve us. You know, we get caught up in things that really don't matter. It doesn't matter. When things come down the pipe that we need to be, that we need to know our neighbor, we need to trust our neighbor, we need to have a plan, this is the time that we need to get together and start doing that. Because that's what accounts. The power goes out. If the banking situation blows up, anything that's going to change our quality of life in a overwhelming manner, you're not going to be able to watch sports on TV. You can't watch your iPad. You can't do things like that. You're going to have to get in somebody's face that you trust and work with them and work together and figure out what the skill set is and who brings something to the table and who doesn't. That's really what's come down to. I mean, I don't talk about shows a lot, but I really love the show Walking Dead. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's an allegory. There's no other way to put it. Everybody on that show, it is an archetype of people in our society. And there's people who are takers, there's people who want to just destroy you, people who want to use you. But there are more people who are decent. And when we're working together, you can't beat a team. And if you want to use a sports analogy, when you have these teams with these prima donnas on them scoring 1,000 points, they can't beat a team where all five players are contributing. That never happens. Same principle. You can't expect someone to do it for you. You cannot live through other people. You cannot expect somebody to take care of you. If you're a parent, you're supposed to take care of your child. But if you're an adult, your job is to handle your business. Someone subsidizing you, giving you a free pass, giving you something for free, trust and believe it is never for free. You will pay for it one way or another. this whole Obamacare nonsense, all the subsidies that were doled out last year, when you guys do your taxes this year, you better hope that you didn't make any more money than you did last year. Because if you made more money, you're going to pay back that subsidy. You're not going to get a tax return in 2015. They already said there's going to be delays in the tax returns this year. Well, there may not be very many tax returns this year because they're coming for you. And they said, this is what cracks me up. If you don't get a tax return, you don't have to worry about the IRS at all. Yeah, I'm sure, because you owe them. They're not coming after you. So if you don't pay your Obamacare you're not part of a health care plan, but you don't get tax returns, you're free and clear. They're not coming after you. They could care less. They want the people who they gave money to who now owe them. That's where their resources are going to go. And let's step back from the fear-mongering of if you don't have your insurance, you're going to get hit with bigger fines and penalties. Last year was $90. This year is $395 or 2% of your yearly income. Well, it's still less than what it costs to buy an Obamacare plan. It costs, what, $900, $1,500, $12,000 per family, $12,000 to $24,000 per family. I'm sorry, but I'll pay my $395. I'm good because I'm still going to come out ahead. And you know what? I'm going to come out ahead in a different way, too, because I'm going to be able to pay cash to see a doctor who's going to give a darn about me. So you're paying into a system. All you're doing is paying another tax for the privilege of them saying, we're not covering it. It's not medically necessary. Get online and wait for your primary care. You have to go through a primary care gatekeeper who's been taught to basically say no or shove a drug in your face or vaccinate you or make sure your kid's vaccinated. We're going to call DFAX on you. I mean, all sorts of things in a mercenary, militarized healthcare system that works against you. And God forbid you do get sick. And I've seen this now personally, where people who are on 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds in hospice for diseases that are curable. I mean, this is not a joke. There is no reason for somebody who had a heart attack, who survived it, who really just needed to have cardiac rehab, who in order to get there needed to have a trach because to help clear secretions and just mobilize the patient. Because that never happened, the person ended up with pneumonia and died, and they didn't have to have it happen. This is the system that we're dealing with. And because he had underlying medical problems, diabetes or high blood pressure, those are now counting against you because that means that, well, the chances of you making it and not costing the system too much are too high, so just going to make you comfortable because it's cheaper. It's all about cost. And it's not in a good way. It's against you. They're thinking about the big picture. They're thinking about how much subsidies are going to have to dole out, how much the government is going to have to pay, not how much it costs to treat a 60-year-old with a bad illness, but can survive it. They're 60. They only got a few more years. They're going to pay taxes. They're not really working anymore. That's what they're thinking. They're not thinking about what you did to become a productive 60-year-old. It's not what you did. It's what you can do. What do you offer to the system? How can we suck something out of you? If you're not, if you don't have something that's suckable, that's not normal. But if you don't have something that they can take and use, then you're bye. Do you really want to live in a system like that? And the young people who started off with the mindset of, well, they're seniors, they've lived enough, it's my time now, I'm gonna vote for this because it's in my interest. For those who thought that, who are living in their parents' basement on their Obamacare, how's that working out for you? You don't have a job. You can't go to, if you could go to the doctor, you have to wait forever to see the doctor. Now that you've turned 27 and you're on your own, you realize, I can't afford it. Now it's a big deal. But it didn't matter when someone else was paying for it and with somebody else's father or mother or grandparent. Everything that happens to one segment of our society will happen to us. You need to understand that this is not a vacuum. Everything that you decide will come back at you at some point. Either be sooner or later, it's coming back. Obamacare has devastated the rural communities. The hospitals are closing. all the hospital, another example, the hospital system who got on board with this, who thought, we're going to get 30 million people and it's going to be a free-for-all. They're all going to come to our hospital and pay us. Well, now the government has decided that they're going to cut the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements, and the hospitals can barely stay afloat. And all of the consortium, you know, the making them into big systems that they've done, they can't afford it. It's a waste of money, and they're firing people. So now the folks that are there are working harder for less money, and the doctors that fled into the system because they're chicken, who said, I can't survive as an independent doctor. I'm just going to take a paycheck. You're next, because they're going to make you work harder and pay you less, and it's going to be less of you. And when you decide you want to stop working, they're going to get another group from whatever country who's happy to get a crumb, who will come in and pull the plug on you because they don't care. They just want to send money back to their home country, or they just want to be here. And they, unfortunately, will be under contract by the hospital. And if you don't follow the hospital mandates, you will be dinged with peer review. You will be ostracized. They will make your life a living hell until you follow it. And if you don't want to follow it, in order to fill out your electronic medical record, you have to dot an I and cross a T with how many times the person had tried to kill themselves. Do they have a gun in the home? That's meaningful use. So you can't even complete a note because you can't. You have to check off a list. And this is the system that you're talking about. And if you end up in an ER, God forbid, you're not going to get an ER-trained doctor. You're going to get someone, you know, who can follow a cookbook, who can look at their iPad and look at the sore throat. This is what I think it is. Miss the cancer, or call a cancer and do CTs out the wazoo when it's a peritonsillar abscess. It's a joke. Seriously. It doesn't work, and it never will work. And it'll cost us more now and even more later. And now is the time to find a doctor who's independent, who is direct care driven, who actually trained back in the 80s or early 90s, who actually knows medicine and can actually look at you and diagnose you and actually examine you and know what the hell they're doing. You need to find these doctors, and you need to make sure that they stay in business. Because if you don't, you're going to end up in a system where they don't know what the diagnosis is, but they think it is something, and they're just going to treat you presumptively. No culture if you have an infection. No real attention to detail. Just, well, it looks like a cold, so I'm just going to, you can't go on an antibiotic. But meanwhile, it's not. I mean, it's just, you're going to get what you pay for. And I really have very little sympathy for patients at this point who don't want to be a partner in their care. For doctors in the direct pay side of this who've seen the light, who realize, if I want to practice medicine, I have to step out of the system. I have to run out of the system. For those doctors who figure that out, there's not that many of us. Hopefully there'll be more and we'll grow. But right now, you'll be blessed if you can find a doctor that you can see who believes that. Because if you don't, I wonder about your care. And I wonder how healthy you will remain. And if you decide to just put your head in the sand and eat trash, not exercise, sit on your couch and play video games and expect a different result, you're in trouble. It's going to come at some point. And when you do show up at a hospital, they might put you in a hospice. And you might be 30 with no other, you know, a couple of other medical problems or not. Or you might have a tumor that is treatable, but because the person didn't know how to diagnose it, it became untreatable. You know, these are the things that there's consequences. I mean, it sounds really, I don't mean to be alarmist about it, but it's alarming that we've come to this point that the system is so broken and so crappy, yet we're told how wonderful it is. It's the same playbook, but we have power. That's the moral of the story. That's what people need to understand. We have power, and this year coming, we're going to explore that power, and we're going to make sure, at least from my standpoint and my show standpoint, that if you decide that you want to take control, I'm going to give you the tools to do it. If you decide you don't, hey, it's on you. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and lightweight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat three well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with two snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I love my audience. I love what I do. You know, I love my country. And we are at a crossroads of taking our power back or falling off the cliff. I just pray and hope that everybody listening to the show starts using their critical thinking skills, gets off the emotion train, because the emotion train is the Pavlov response, where you say something and I react the same way every time, whether it's in my interest or not, whether it's in my favor or not. That's where we need to cut that tie. Because everything that we've been doing as a country to this point is dividing us, has put us in a position where we're poor, spiritually, financially, emotionally. It's not the right track. Everybody keeps saying that they're going in the wrong direction, yet we still keep going in the same direction. Either we really believe that and we're going to pull back on it. We need to do it because Congress is not. Or we're going to allow ourselves to continue to be manipulated. And, you know, from a disease standpoint, there is a consequence to this kind of stress on the system, emotionally, spiritually, financially. It makes people sick. It ruins relationships. It kills families. So there is a global or a group medical cost to what's going on. And part of being healthy is having control. That's the one thing that I think that is the underpinning of everybody's angst, is the feeling that they don't have control over something. I'm a doctor. I don't have control of the insurance companies. They're outrageous. They're just getting more outrageous. Now they've changed a code, or I should say, it's called a modifier. They don't list it. They don't tell you. They just don't pay you. So now we're getting all these denials again. And it's supposed to, the code is supposed to go into effect at the beginning of the year, yet they started a month before in changing out. So now we've got to wait another 6 weeks before we get paid for these patients, hopefully, because we resubmitted the claim. That's very stressful. Then you have patients coming in who really can't afford their health care because their out-of-pocket is 20% if they're lucky, or $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000, and they didn't know it, they didn't understand it, so they're all in your face why it's your fault. So it's an adversarial, stressful system. They're coming in sicker. They can't afford the treatment, or they've lived in such a way that they kind of did it to themselves, and yet it's still your fault. These things are emotionally draining. The best way to deal with it, I don't care who you are, what it is that you do, whether it's lawyer, doctor, fireman, whatever, is disconnect from it. Control what you can control. Most doctors don't get it, but if we just said, I'm not taking insurance anymore, I'm going to see patients for $50 a month, $30 a month, whatever it is, my patient would see me, I would not have to worry about all the nonsense that goes down. They could afford to see me, and I can practice medicine. But people can't seem to understand that one small fact. It's about quality. It's not about quantity. So seeing 1,000 patients a day doesn't make you a better doctor. Maybe it makes you feel cool, but it doesn't make you a better doctor. It doesn't make the patient a better patient. It makes them part of a train, a system that is running on its own, that's running off track, and that everybody is just dissatisfied with. Let's try something different. Obviously, Obamacare was tried. It doesn't work. I'm all for the people who want that. As a matter of fact, they should have more of it. And they should allow people who don't want to be in that system to opt out. Their system would actually work if they did that, because you wouldn't have so many people in it. Then maybe the government could pay for those folks and not have to worry about 300 million people. But that's not how the system is driven. It's driven by take from as many people as you can take, give them back as little as you can give them, and tell them they all should be happy for it. Does that make sense to you? When you can go to my office, Peachtree ENT Center, North Atlanta Urgent Care, Highland Urgent Care, God, I call me or email me. I'd be happy to give you names of other groups in the city and out where you can pay a fraction of what it costs you now. You can see the doctor, spend time with the doctor who knows you, your family, everything about you, and can actually make an individualized treatment plan and get you off of medication and stop you from needing to spend thousands of dollars per year on medicines that don't work. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what healthcare is supposed to be. Who can actually educate you on what GMO is, how to avoid it, how to really stop having problems with stress so you stop taking pharmaceuticals which make you worse, make you want to hurt yourself, hurt other people. Why is it? Nobody asks this question in the mainstream media, but ask yourself this question. Why is it everybody who's with these shooter phenomenon, these episodes in schools and businesses, they're all on antipsychotic or antidepressant medicines, all of them? Which is, what's the chicken and the egg here? If those medicines work, they wouldn't be doing it. Or is the medicines making them crazy so they do it? I don't know. But when they tell you that you can feel suicidal and that, you know, your behavior changes as a side effect, I have a question. And the folks taking Ambien because they can't sleep, yet they still have it in their system in the morning and they're sleep driving, sleep eating, sleep killing, all these things that are going on based on medications that don't agree with you. And the medicines that they do, that they put on the market, why do we have so many recalls? Why do we have these class action suits? Every day you can hear them on TV. You know, Xarelto is the newest one, the one for blood thinning. That makes no sense from a medical standpoint. I can tell you, after having taken care of nosebleeds and cardiac patients, the last thing I want to see is someone with a bleed that I can't stop it. I can't help them clot. That's the last thing you want to see. Now, that's another complication from a stupid medication. When if the Coumadin that you used to be able to take was controlled properly, you would be able to reverse it. All these things, just because it's new, doesn't make it better. And the system is screwed too, because it's getting it from China. Who knows what they do? I don't want to take a medication. I don't know who's making it. I don't know where it's come from. I don't even know if it's not counterfeit at this point. Even the pharmacies are putting out counterfeit medicine, and they don't even know it. The system is broken. The way you do it is you take your power back, you get out of it, you pull back, regroup, think about what you're doing. Everything you do has a consequence, and do it with intention that is positive as opposed to fear. That's the other thing I would recommend highly, is you stop living in fear. And the way you stop living in fear is to be prepared. I've used the analogy before. I know, Dave, you've done it as a student. The test that you studied for, and you were ready for. You were never afraid to take. You were ready for action. The ones that you stayed up, you know, you started studying the night before, you're doing your no-dos and you had to go in there and make it work, scared the hell out of you. Same thing here. Start preparing your children to understand there is no freebie. You don't get something for nothing. You're not special, and you're not a perpetual victim. When you think in those manners, then you want someone to give you a leg up. You think you're owed something. You don't want to work for something. You want to take from somebody else that they owe you, and you never end up in a position of power unless you control your own destiny, whether that be intellectual, economic, emotional. You will not get ahead in this system, and they want you to believe that. That's the key. That's what we're going to work on this year. It's empowering when you take your power back. It is healthy to take your power back. And when you have that, and you have a sense of self, it doesn't matter what the group think is, because you're not part of the group. I don't believe that because I'm black that I'm a victim, that I can't succeed, that because I'm a woman, someone's always against. I don't believe any of that. I'm big enough to do whatever I decide and work for. Nobody will take it from me. If you guys all start believing that yourself, no matter what you are, what color you are, whatever religion, we would not be driven by these people who want us to hate ourselves, hate each other, look to them for sustenance, because they're going to take it to us. They're already doing it. I say take your power back and stop feeding this system that's working against you. Start small. Start with yourself. Start making good, healthy choices in terms of what you eat. If you fly, stop going through that stupid body scanner, which is toxic. It doesn't even work, and I've seen people go through that and still get searched after they come through it. Really, it's a badge of honor to ask for an opt-out. That means I love myself. I'm not afraid of you, and I love myself. That's how I see it. It's infective. Once you start doing it, you won't want to stop. I have nothing else to say.
I've got one other thing, and that's for individuals to look at their neighbors, look at other individuals that are clueless, and figure out a way to talk to them. Maybe it's giving them a tomato from your garden. Maybe it's bringing the question, why does this taste so much better than what I've eaten in the past? Get them to start thinking. We've got to get that 52% educated into what's going on.
Yes and no. If they're not willing to come with you, leave them in the wayside. Yeah. And then forget about being liked. That's another thing. Who cares if they don't like? They don't know you. You cannot be someone from the outside on these internet sites that are talking about you. They don't know your heart. They don't know who you are. So you stop giving them power over you. Who cares what they I don't care what you think should be your mantra for this year. Once you say that, you're like, you get it. There are a bunch of haters out there. They would love to see you fail. Don't give them the benefit or the opportunity to do that. I guess on that note, we're done for the new year, or until the new year, and I hope everybody has a happy, healthy, prosperous new year, and I look forward to being on the radio with you next year.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.